rejoiced at the things that were said to me, we shall go into the house of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's story starts with a scene familiar perhaps to many of you, and I wonder if it's even being enacted at Mass this morning, you never know. That is to say, there was a bored young person at Mass who didn't want to be there. He was only there because he had to be. It was an anniversary Mass for a deceased relative, and there was family pressure. Well, this young man had been raised a Catholic, and I think had made his communion, but then shortly after had fallen away and had become a Freemason in order to get ahead in society, especially for his work prospects. And the priest who tells the tale said that he believed neither in God nor in the devil. So there he was. He was at Mass. He was in the front pew. And as Mass started, he showed his irritation at being there, as we will by his body language. That is to say, his sighs and grimaces and slouching and rolling his eyes, and every now and again he'd make a little comment under his breath, and bully around, come on, let's get to it. And this went on to the scandal of his family, who were with him in this church, when suddenly, at the consecration, he sat up. He stared fixedly at the altar. Until then, he had refused to even kneel. With a surprised look, now his eyes were wide with wonder, and his mouth gaping open with astonishment. Then he fell to his knees, and he started to sob. And then he'd look up. He'd bury his face in his hands, he would look up again. His family was taken aback at this sudden shift in his attitude, but nobody said a word. It was the Mass. Now, after Mass, this young man hurried into the sacristy to see the priest. It was Father Mateo, the great saint of the enthronement, the family enthronement of the Sacred Heart. You remember him in his beautiful apostolate. And the priest was just finishing taking off his vestments, and the young man accosted him. Father, he said, what did you do in there, pointing to the sanctuary? What did I do, my son? He said, you're surely a Catholic. This took place in South America, the beginning of the 20th century, early years of the 20th century. He says, you're surely a Catholic. You know as well as I. Oh, Catholic, he said, yeah, I did that a little bit when I was a kid, but I had been to church for years. What did you do just now on that altar? Well, he said, my son, do you remember your catechism? And then he took him through it. The sacrifice of the Mass reproduces and prolongs in a mystical but a real manner the bloody sacrifice of Calvary. How Christ, the eternal high priest, at the same time, the priest and the victim nailed to the cross is concealed in the priest that stands at the altar, and how Christ comes down and is concealed in the bread and the wine that are consecrated. And without waiting for anything more, this young man interrupted the priest and said, that's what happened. At a certain point, when I looked up, you weren't there anymore. And I saw a man, his face livid with death, all horribly suffering and covered with blood, especially coming down from his hands, which were extended on a cross. And the blood flowed from his side, too, into that golden cup you call the chalice. That's what I saw just now. That's what I saw. Now, whether you see that today when Father Cicada starts the Mass in a few minutes, That is what will actually happen here today. That's what happens on every Catholic altar, at every Catholic Mass, whether it be in a stripped-down church that's been fitted out again, or a brand new one, whether it be in a humble rented hall, the way we started out, or some magnificent cathedral, the churches that were stolen from us by the modernists. That is what happens. The priest in the place of Christ consecrates. Our Lord offers himself up to his Father. The only difference between this Mass and Calvary is that it is renewed in an unbloody fashion. How does that work? What does that mean? What's the essence of the Mass? Remember, you studied your catechism. Remember, it is symbolized by the double consecration, Christ's death is, the separation of the body from the blood. It stands for the separation of the body and the soul at the moment of death, a death he freely undertook for our sins, and which he presents up to his Father at every Mass. This is the heart and the essence of the Mass. Okay, we're in the consecration. The Sanctus bell is rung 3 times. And then Father prays quietly for a bit. And then you may see him stretch out his hands over the chalice. And the server rings the bell to draw your attention to that. That symbolizes the gesture made by the old high priest on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, the transferal of our sins to the victim. The victim here is not an animal offered up, but is the Son of God himself. Then the priest takes the wafer of bread, and he bends over, and he whispers the 5 words of the consecration. And God is on the altar, the living God, Jesus Christ. Immediately the priest kneels, the server rings the bell, he elevates, and at this point you must think of our Lord being lifted up on Calvary, the cross raised. And then you look up and you say the indulgence prayer with faith, my Lord and my God. You may also make the sign of the cross or beat your breast. And then you look down again, you bow a little bit, as the server rings the bell now for the 3rd time. Now comes the sacrifice, because now the blood is separated from the body, sacramentally, but truly, mystically. Our Lord is there as the victim of our sins, as the priest recites the words of the consecration over the golden cup, which contains the wine mixed with a few drops of water. And then again he lifts it up, now the blood of Christ, separated from the body, behold the death of our Savior, as his Father beholds it, and smiles down upon us with a blessing for this sacrifice. This is the Mass. Now we know this. This has always been the Mass, the essence of it, since the very beginning. We have it from the authority of Christ who speaks through his church. So we have our Lord speaking this way in sacred scripture and Saint Paul after him. We have the testimony of so many saints from the 1st centuries, and therefore the doctrine of the sacrifice of the Mass. The Protestants don't know about it. So in the movie, they will be confused with the scenes about the Last Supper and the crucifixion. A Catholic understands that right away. The Novus Ordo doesn't know about this. They've forgotten it. Because for them, the Mass is an assembly to celebrate human values and have a communion. We alone maintain this precious treasure, the sacrifice of the Mass. Sacrifice. Sacrum facere, Latin, to make holy. To set something apart for God and to offer it up by destroying it. That's the essence of sacrifice, its definition. That means to acknowledge that God is the Lord of life and of death, and that we deserve death because of our sins. So everything at the altar, a Catholic altar, speaks of sacrifice. You have all of the careful words you can follow in your prayer book and the gestures, the prayers of the Mass of adoration, thanksgiving, reparation or making up for sins, and then petition, asking for our needs. These are the four ends or purposes of prayer, and of the greatest of prayer, which is the Mass. Then you have the crucifix over every Catholic altar, showing Christ not glorious, not a bare cross, but Christ dying on the cross. The candles that burn give of themselves, they die, to give us light. The flowers die slowly to give their beauty and their fragrance to the sacrifice. The very care of the altar and of all of the ceremonies and of the music, well, that's a sacrifice again. Sister, our sacristan, and her wonderful helpers each weekend who were so tired yesterday when all of their work was finally over, and do that every weekend of the year before the Sunday Mass. This poor stripped church, now made as beautiful as possible because God is coming here. The bread and the wine offered up, which disappear, which cease to exist. Everything on the altar talks about sacrifice. And yet, none of these things, strictly speaking, is the sacrifice except for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Himself. Now, I admit, the notion of sacrifice is repellent to modern man. I'm here to get what I want out of you. And sacrifice? But think of it. You could not live. You could not love unless you embraced sacrifice. However could you raise children, parents, unless you were full of a spirit of sacrifice? To give of yourself without counting the cost or self-seeking, that's the definition of love. That is the meaning of life. And it is the key to all happiness. The sacrilege of life is those who hold back from offering up a sacrifice. But our Lord did not. You saw the movie. You read the book. He gave His all unto the last drop, which He continues to do until the end of time. The Mass is Calvary. In the 3rd century, the Mass was called the Passion of Christ. In the 1st century, the breaking of the bread. But it is always Calvary. Here in spirit, see today the Lamb, God's Lamb, mystically immolated. Everything, as I say at the altar, talks about sacrifice. The vestments Father is going to put on now. There's a square we tuck around our neck called the amice. That symbolizes the blindfold they put on Jesus when they smacked Him and asked who was hitting Him. Then there's the white robe He wears down to the ground. That's the white robe of Herod, who called Christ a fool and dressed Him in that. Then there is the cincture, the rope around the waist, and the band of cloth here, the maniple, the long band of cloth here, the stole. Those symbolize the ropes and the chains with which Christ was bound, carried from place to place. Last of all, the chasuble, the outer vestment, stands for the purple garment they put on Christ to mock Him when He was crowned with thorns, and the cross on the back stands for the heavy cross Christ carried on His back for us sinners. The hat the priest wears, the head covering, makes us think of His crown of thorns as the priest comes out to the altar. The white altar linens stand for the linen shroud they wrapped up Jesus' body in when He died. And the altar itself, the sepulchre, the sacrifice of the saints, the place of sacrifice, because it is mounted on steps like the hill of Calvary was elevated. The whole of the ceremony of the Mass speaks of Christ's Passion. The only languages used once Mass starts were those used in the Passion, Hebrew or Greek or Latin. The many signs of the cross, the mystic going to and fro, the prayers said silently and then broken as it were by a mutter and then sometimes cried aloud. The mixing of the water and the wine, the lifting up of the sacred victim. Everything is to help you remember, not remember 2,000 years ago, but remember that you're seeing it right now before your eyes. Please remember his bitter suffering. He died a cruel death to give you life. How could you remain cold? How could you be unconcerned? How could you miss a Sunday Mass and it's no big deal? How much less could you be here and then be bored or distracted or wonder when he's going to get on with things? His blood in a moment is spattered on you, the bystanders, from his wounds, from his open side. Those heart-rending sighs, you hear the seven words of love he cries out from the cross. See the lance and the nails and the thorns. Put yourself right here with Mary and Mary Magdalene and St. John. What a reproach for our selfishness, our refusal to sacrifice ourselves, our inability to love anyone except for ourselves. But what a remedy is here for our self-centeredness, which kills our souls and our families and our marriages and our friendships and all of the rest. The mother of a saint, who was a Dominican, Blessed Henry Suso, and she, a poor peasant woman, told her son, the priest once, "Son, I have never been to Mass in 30 years without thinking about Christ's passion and without being moved to tears." The Mass is the sacrifice which inspires us to make our necessary sacrifices, not as a burdensome duty, you know, an hour to gather wool and, well, and then it's over. Oh, no. It leads us to the gate of heaven. "I rejoiced at the things that were said to me. We shall go into the house of the Lord." And when we come back from Mass, it returns us solidly to this earth, to the humblest hardships, and to the duties of daily life. The Passion, the movie, I mean. Did you see it? See it. Did you see it once? See it again. What a help to open your eyes to the reality on this altar. Yes, there perhaps there's some inaccuracies or omissions in the movie. After all, it was an artistic endeavor and thus very, very personal. But as I mentioned after the movie, one of the most impressive things was the silence of it during the movie itself, and then how afterwards everybody just sat there sobbing. It was the only noise that one heard in the theater. Now, here, there's no movie. It's the reality. And yet, sometimes Mass is so noisy. Well, I don't mean the chairs. You can't help scraping chairs today, and children will cry, and babies have to go in and out, of course. But for the rest of it, you know, at Mass, you should be able to perceive a palpable silence, profound. But if you have to break the silence, be like St. Colette. She was a poor Claire. This is what happened. One day she was at Mass, and it was the consecration, and everything was very quiet. And all of a sudden, out of the silence, she cried out, "My God, my Jesus, angels, saints, sinful men, what marvels, what marvels." Afterwards, the priest came to see her and asked what that was all about. And she explained, "Your Reverence, when you lifted up the sacred host, I saw Christ on the cross and the blood flowing from his wounds. And I heard him say, 'Eternal Father, look upon my body stretched out on the cross. Look upon my blood flowing from my wounds. All of this I have endured to save sinners. And if they are condemned to hell, then I have nothing to show for my passion, for my sake, Father, save these sinners.'" This is the Mass. "I rejoiced at the things that were said to me. We shall go into the house of the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.